This is Press Play on 89.9 KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. From Beyonce to Madonna, Prince, and now Usher, the Super Bowl halftime show is a big gig, even for megastars. But not so long ago, the halftime show was kind of a non-event. That's why in 1992, the sketch comedy show In Living Color lured viewers away from the game with their own halftime special on the fledgling Fox Channel.
We hope you enjoy the first half of the game. Welcome to the In Living Color Halftime Countdown Party.
That's the show's host and creator, Keenan Ivory Wayans. 20 million viewers changed the channel to watch that special. It was 20 minutes of counter-programming that poked fun at the Super Bowl.
Our Super Bowl countdown clock. It'll be coming on later in the show to let you know when to switch back to the second half. You won't miss any of the senseless brutality.
That's a young Jim Carrey who got his start on In Living Color. We're going to talk more about how this comedy show upended the Super Bowl show with Adrian Sebro, professor of media studies at the University of Texas, Austin, and author of the book Scratching and Surviving, Hustle Economics, and the Black Sitcoms of Tandem Productions. Welcome to Press Play.
Oh, thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Great to have you. Okay, so pre-1992, what were the Super Bowl halftime shows like?
Yeah, so Super Bowl halftime shows were really about fanfare that kind of makes everyone feel welcomed. So largely they're musical spectacles, and they had marching bands or ensembles that were all about community giving, but largely, you know, wholesome and non-offensive, but weren't really, felt they weren't really in touch with popular culture at the time.
Right. So popular culture was where at the time? So 1992, just emerging from the 80s, Fox is kind of a new deal.
Yeah. 1992, 1993, in this moment, Fox, being this brand new network in 1986, they're starting to build a little bit of traction, but they're still considered the smaller network and the unknown in conversation with ABC, CBS, and NBC, who have been the popular networks, you know, since radio. So with Fox, they were trying to find ways to counter-program and find ways to be a niche so that they can have an audience share that's equal to the big three, which is ABC, CBS, and NBC. So what Fox did was reach out to, via their content, black and brown artists to come in and executive produce and create their shows. They were really about kind of creating this urban, young urban market. And what that would do is bring folks from the big three to Fox, because no other channel was really satisfying that market base. And so Fox, really that kind of 18 to 30 plus black and brown individuals interested in hip hop music, popular culture, that's who Fox niched their programming around. And you would see in the shows that Fox was producing at the time, it all is relevant to a new era of television and artistry coming to fold that's much more in line with what people were looking forward to in these halftime shows.
Right. Also, young white kids, too.
Absolutely.
They were into it as well. And so here's an ad that they aired right before the Super Bowl.
Next Sunday, when it's halftime at the Super Bowl, switch over to Fox for the wildest super halftime party ever, live from Hollywood, featuring safety.
Okay, so it worked. 20 million people tuned in, and it makes a lot of sense. Was there one particular person who came up with this idea?
Yes, the president of Fox at the time had the idea of, like, again, these are individuals who are, you know, scrappy, they're the young network on the block, so they're really doing anything. They had nothing to lose. So we came up with the idea at the time and said, hey, we should find a way to, no one watches the Super Bowl halftime show anymore. I think that that particular year was themed Winter Magic.
Hi, everybody.
Come on and feel the cold.
Come to Minnesota, where winter's the hottest time of the year.
It's Winter Magic.
Largely, again, it wasn't something that the masses continued to stick to, and they often, like, you know, lost viewership when it came to the halftime show. So the Fox president at the time was saying to Keenan Ivory Wayans, the creator of Living Color, that we should, you know, have an episode during this. And it was kind of a fledgling idea. CBS executive didn't think anything of it. They didn't believe that it would be a threat. But in actuality, yes, like, as you already said, more than 20 million viewers switched away. CBS lost about 10 ratings points, I believe, and more than a fifth of its viewership during the halftime special. So it was definitely a threat. Mm-hmm. And they were able to do it based off of this idea of there's nothing for us to lose, only things for us to gain as this small fledgling network. And that boosted Fox's popularity tenfold.
And a lot of it was really outrageous and kind of pushing the boundaries. I was looking at it recently and I couldn't believe that they put this on prime time or on during the Super Bowl and everyone, 20 million people were watching. Like, some of this stuff must have been truly shocking to some of the viewers or a lot of the viewers. So, and because it was very, well, I want to play a clip from one of the skits. It's pretty sexually suggestive. There was a recurring skit called Men On, and the premise was two gay men happen to be played by straight actors and talk about what's happening in pop culture. And here they're talking about the Super Bowl.
Now, I'm very confused about this part of the game. Now, Blaine, we all know what a red flag in the right pocket means. Mm-hmm. But what does the yellow flag in the left pocket mean?
Oh, I think those are the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much about this game that's so confusing. Mm-hmm. For instance, why do they stop a play when there's too many men on the field? To me, that's party time.
Because, Blaine, too many men, that's an illegal formation.
Well, if love is wrong, then I don't want to be right.
So that's Damon Wayans and David Alan Greer playing these two gay commentators, just completely dressed to the nines. And so you talk about this segment and how it was perceived. And was it considered shocking?
Yeah, the Men On segment was one of the most popular segments of In Living Color, pretty much throughout Damon Wayans and David Alan Greer's run on In Living Color. So they did, you know, Men On Film, Men On TV, Men On Art, right? And it was this idea of, it largely is the basis for a lot of the stereotypes regarding African-American men and homosexuality and performance, right? So, but in this moment, there isn't really anything else like it on television, of course. But oftentimes that also was a way of folks to kind of categorize, stereotype, and, you know, typeset the imagery of what Black gayness looked like. But around it was obviously the comedy. And In Living Color was known for that shocking, eye-catching comedy that's going to continue to pull you back. And we're doing things that, you know, they were on the premise of being kind of the anti-Saturday Night Live, right? Let's shock the world. The majority of our cast is Black and brown. Let's lean into that. And let's do it by also, you know, making commentary on Black gay men. But, yeah, I can only imagine what a new audience member may have thought of the particular segment in their first time watching the show if it was during halftime, right? If you watch the show as a dedicated viewer, you kind of are waiting for the next Men On series because it was this kind of repeated sketch throughout. But also it was a commentary on the fact that there aren't other representations of Black gay men out there right now. So this is the one. So we can see Black gayness looking like this.
Played by straight guys.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. So now, obviously, something like this would have a lot of backlash, and it did. Actually, a lot of folks did have issues with it. However, those who found the comedy in it superseded that amount of folks.
Well, I mean, and also it's slyly suggesting that the Super Bowl and football itself is homoerotic.
Exactly. Making a play on the overt masculinity that exists in football. And, you know, you can see in that sketch particularly where they're wearing, you know, football jerseys, the eye black, all these things that are kind of suggestive to the masculinity, but subverting it in that way. So it was extremely smart comedy in that aspect. And what they did to kind of make the theme around football throughout the entire Super Bowl special was pretty masterful, in my opinion.
All right, let's play another scene. This is Jim Carrey performing in his recurring role as Fire Marshal Bill. And that character was a safety inspector. The joke was that he would put himself in all these life-threatening, dangerous scenarios.
Football and alcohol. A deadly combination! Howdy, folks. I'm Fire Marshal Bill, here to make sure your Super Bowl Sunday is a safe one. Uh-oh! I see someone serving up some danger.
Okay, so you can't really see it when you're just listening to it, but the comedy is really in the physical humor. Jim Carrey's really outrageous physical humor. And so there he is getting a start on In Living Color. Also, the show produced other big stars such as Jennifer Lopez, Rosie Perez, also the entire Wayans family, Jimmy Fox. So talk about the legacy of In Living Color.
Yeah, Living Color really was that kind of feeding ground for folks to enter kind of urban popular culture in a very important time throughout the 90s. So as you mentioned, Keenan Ivory Wayans, Damon Wayans, Kim Wayans, David Alan Greer, These are all folks who have been a part of, if you look at anything in the 90s, they are folks that you see repetitively on television or film. And what's so important about this moment is that Living Color was that show that struck the match for realizing that Black popular television can be profitable and lucrative, and it can be something to counter, you know, the Saturday Night Live programming. So really what came from this was a creation of Black produced, written, and created TV and films because of the success of The Living Color. And then for folks like Jim Carrey, for instance, this show wasn't largely meant for them, but they are part of it and they are living within it. And that has, like, you know, added to their own popular cachet in American popular culture, because Jim Carrey is actually coming from Canada. He's pretty popular there at the time as a comedian, but this was his gateway into American popular culture. Mm. But largely, what's so important about this Fox moment is that it led way for folks to realize that Black dollars and Black people are profitable. So it was also an idea of how do we make use of this new age of young urban individuals, mainly Black, who are going to college, who are making money. How do we utilize them for marketing? How do we sell to them? And selling to them meant putting folks on TV that look like them. So shows like this through Fox led the way for, you know, Rock, Living Single, Martin, all these different other shows that were a barometer of what Blackness and pop culture and hip hop looked like in the 90s. And Living Color was the segue to how folks were able to invest in African-American artists, viewers, and creatives moving forward.
And the very next year, the NFL decided it better get its act together with a Absolutely. Compelling halftime show, and they hired Michael Jackson.
Yeah, the biggest person in the world, right? And it was, again, because the unexpected success of A Living Color's halftime show and CBS not taking it seriously, all the promo, they thought it was executive quoted, like it was a cute idea, like not thinking like it would concern them at all. But losing that much points and losing a fifth of your viewership during halftime, a lot of folks lost their jobs, I'm sure. And what that meant was, how can we counter that? And the most popular person in the world, we get him on the Super Bowl stage, and that's how they countered it. So that literally changed the realizing that counter programming is very real. And in order to keep those eyes and to keep those ratings, and because, you know, the eyes are buyers, you have to have something compelling, which is why now they have continually hired individuals that have a proven track record of keeping an audience and being on par with what's happening in popular culture. But again, it starts at this moment in 1993 where Living Color took the risk to popularize themselves as well as Fox, and CBS had to face the backlash and change their entire mode of operations. And also, obviously, the money they put towards the Super Bowl halftime shows, that changed that moment as well.
Well, thanks so much for the entertaining history lesson. Appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
That's Adrian Sebro, professor of media studies at the University of Texas at Austin and author of the book Scratchin' and Survivin', Hustle Economics and the Black Sitcoms of Tandem Productions.
The moon float like a balloon. You see, it's never too late and it's never too soon. Take it from me, it's I to be.
And that's it for Press Play today. I'm Madeline Brand. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.